did you meet Jen?
Well, I was in college at Mississippi State College for Women at Columbus. And the Columbus Air Base was just getting ready to open up. So one day this in January of 42, this friend of mine and I went out for our afternoon walk. And just as we got to the gate of the campus, they kept us girls kind of gated in. We met these two good-looking Air Force people. We hadn't seen anybody except four Fs in so long. And they stopped us at the gate and said, can we walk in and go around on campus? And we said, we don't know. They've never given us any rules. We were just sophomores. And the president happened to be across the street. And I, in my audacious manner, called Dr. Parkinson. They want to know if they can walk on campus. And he said, as long as they don't stop walking. So Mary Elizabeth and I went on up the street, came back, and when we were coming into the campus, they were coming out. So they said they had heard about this girls' college there, and couldn't we just go and have a Coke with them? And we said, not legally. But there is a drugstore across the street about a block away, and we could have them over there in a little while. So we ran to our dorm and powdered our noses and combed our hair, and we went over and met Jim and Stan Walker. And by the way, both of them married MSCW girls eventually. So Jim and I could not date. I mean, I was only a sophomore. But we kept in touch by letters and by telephone, and he was not there until, maybe less than a year, because he had signed up for officers training, also cadet training. And in the fall, they both came through at the same time, and he had to decide what to do. So he decided to go into cadet training. So he left Columbus in the fall of 42 and went into cadet training.
Yes.
And he ended up being a pilot. But we kept in touch all through those years. And finally, in the summer of 43, he convinced me that we should get married sometime. And so I did accept a ring by mail. Yeah, in the post office, you know, it came in the post office. And he got his wings in November of 43 at Altus, Oklahoma, and was transferred up to Liberal Camp. Well, as soon as he got his wings, he came to Columbus to see me. And we went to my home, I'm sure, on a bus, to my home in Pontotoc, where Daddy was superintendent. We lived in the superintendent's home. And by that time, Jim had decided he was a very convincing person when he made up his mind to convince you that he was right. So he decided that I needed to go to Des Moines with him, because if we were going to get married someday, I needed to go meet his dad. I'd already met his mother. She had been to Columbus, but I needed to go to his home, see where he lived, see his daddy, see what kind of people they were. So he convinced my mother and daddy that I should do that, and daddy had to convince the dean of women down at MSCW that I should take a short trip to Des Moines, Iowa, in those days where you went a little piece on the train, a little piece on the bus, and hope to get somewhere else. So I went to Des Moines with him, and I stayed about 3 days because I had to get back to school. So he was still in Liberal, Kansas, and I went back to school until Christmas, and by then he had decided that since he couldn't get leave, I needed to come to Liberal, Kansas. Now, I'm just 21 years old, but I need to come to Liberal, Kansas and spend 3 days. That's all you could stay in the hotel was 3 days. Spend 3 days with him at Christmas time. So he had to convince Mother and Daddy, and we went through that. And my daddy was as strict a superintendent as you ever knew. But my mother loved Jim. She just fell in love with him. I think it was because he did love her cooking. You know, that southern cooking.
Yes. What things would she make?
Cornbread and peas and fried chicken and just dumplings and everything. And Jim loved it all. His Yankee mother did not cook much like my mother. But anyway, he convinced them he was in Liberal, and so they let me take off to find my way to Liberal, Kansas, and a little bit on the train and a little bit on. So when I got there on Christmas Eve night, I had stockings in my suitcase and the Christmas tree and everything so we could play Christmas. And he had friends with him. Two couples met me at the train, and they thought, you are going to get married tonight. And I said, no way. I have been on this train, bus, and any other way for 2 days, and I'm not married tonight. Next day, so Jim took me on to the hotel, and he went on to the base. Next day, I had our little Christmas already. But it seemed like we were both homesick. He was homesick. I was homesick. It just wasn't going good. I said, Jim, go on back to the base and stay till this afternoon and let me get some rest and I'll be glad to see you then. So about 3 o'clock that afternoon, he called me from downstairs. He said, I want to come up and have a serious talk with you, Sarah. And I said, well, come on. So he came up to the room and he said, now here's what I've done today. I've been to the jewelry store. I've gotten the man to go open the jewelry store and buy a wedding band. I've gotten the chancery, the circuit clerk to go to the courthouse and issue us a wedding license. I have found a preacher, a Presbyterian minister, who will marry us tonight at 8 o'clock, and I've ordered your flowers. Now, and I said, I'm not going to let you persuade me. I know how persuasive and convincing you are. And I said, you just go and leave me for about 2 hours and let me make up my own mind. So he did. And he called me back about 6 and said, what have you decided? I said, I think I am. If you'll just promise me on the way to the minister's house, I can turn around and come back if I change my mind. And he agreed to that. So I put on the best dress I had, which wasn't much. And I said, I want to walk. It was snowing. We walked in the snow to Reverend Otto R. Anderson's house, just Jim and me. And he married us that night.
Didn't you need a witness?
His wife was the witness. That's the only witness.
And was this Christmas Day?
This was Christmas Day of 1943 that we were married.
So he got them to open the jewelry store?
He got the circuit clerk to go to the courthouse and issue him a marriage license and the jeweler owner to go to the store and sell him a wedding. Yes, he did it all that day while I was resting. So anyway, we married, and after that, maybe the next day, we called his folks and called my folks. And I stayed, well, I couldn't stay in there but 3 days at the hotel.
Well, but what about a honeymoon?
What was that? We were on our honeymoon, I guess. He found some kind of closet in the bachelor's officer's quarters on base at Liberal. And he said, do you think you could sleep on an army cot with me? And there's kind of a pantry closet I found out there, because I had to get out of the hotel. And I could stay 2 or 3 more days. If we stayed in that little pantry closet and both of us slept on that army cot for 3 more nights till I had to go back to school. I had to get back to go to school because I hadn't taken my exams. And so when I got home and went back to MSCW, by then Jim had decided that it certainly would be best for him to talk Mother and Daddy into making me go, let me drop out of school the second semester of my senior year and come stay with him out west while he trained with his crew. Well, they agreed. And I dropped out of school and back I went to Liberal, Kansas. And we stayed there, and then he was sent to Salt Lake City to pick up his crew. And I stayed with him all that time, and then he with his crew trained in Casper, Wyoming. And I knew all of his crew, and that was the time we had together was in Casper, Wyoming. Until June, they sent him down to McCook, Nebraska, a hellhole on earth if there ever was one. My friend and I, Carolyn Steinman from Ohio, had agreed to drive somebody's car from Casper, Wyoming to McCook, Nebraska because she was very pregnant and could not drive the car. So Carolyn and I drove. You know, you couldn't get gas. All we saw was tumbleweeds and rattlesnakes. We did put one of the rattlesnakes in the trunk just to kind of tease our husbands when we got there. Of course, they were dead, thank goodness. But after we got in the car and started, we weren't sure they were dead. We kept thinking they were gonna hit. It was going to hit our heels. But the reason I gave McCook a bad name was we got to McCook. We went to the hotel to get a room. No, they didn't have any vacancies. We went to everything that the city sent us to check. And, of course, they were uninhabitable. And the only place was a little hotel that we found, and we went over and begged them for a room, and no, they didn't have anything. So we were just parked in the car out front wondering what we were going to do next, and this drunk soldier came up the sidewalk, and he was laughing at us. Of course, we were both young, like 21, laughing at us. He said, "Y'all gonna stay over there?" And we said, "Oh yeah, they've given us a room." And he fell out laughing. And he said, "You know that's just a whorehouse, don't you?" We didn't know, so we didn't move in. But we met the troop train when they came in. And when Jim came in and her husband, they called him Stinky, found out, they went right to the hotel, the uptown hotel, gave him a room just like that. They just thought we were some kind of camp followers. And they went back to that place, and they got their money back, said we didn't want to rent them the room, but said they were so insistent, they just wouldn't take no.